Read, sir. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Is where we are. And you know, even though I always encourage us, myself included, don't just take little sniglets of the word. We should, even though we're basically verse 7, 8 through 10 somewhere, keep going back during the course of the week so that we have the full counsel of God and we remember what is it that he's been saying to us over the last month or so. And that's why I felt it necessary today, instead of just going right to the verses that I wanted to hit, to just refresh our hearts. So 2 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you. We talked about that. Don't ever forget that or let it pass us by. In peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. That's our prayers. Because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Is my faith growing? Is my love growing? Verse 4, so we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. Remember, how's my patience this week? Don't ask about somebody else's. Don't say, oh, so-and-so really lost it. How was my patience this week? How was my faith this week? In all persecutions and tribulations that we endure. I mean, they're there for us to endure. They're there for a reason. Remember, God never sends anything. It's not a waste. Trials, tribulations. He utilizes those for our strengthening, for the grace that he can pour out into our lives. When that happens and we walk through this world, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which you suffer. Remember, suffering and belief go together in the word. Just because we believe does not mean that we're exempt from any type of physical, financial, mental, emotional suffering and sonship go together. Verse 16, it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. I don't want to get onto that too much, but remember in Hebrews, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, we have this unique thing that it goes on in this bag of bones and flesh that we, even though if we don't physically do it, we try mentally or whatever to get even with people. God is saying, get rid of that. Get it out of us. I'm going to take care of anybody who troubles you in any way at his given time. And it's something that I know I need to, you know, even if we just think about it, how dare they say that about me? You know, I'm going to tell so-and-so. God saying, get rid of it. I'll take care of this. And to you, verse 7, this meant so much to me this week. And to you who are troubled, that is a present tense word, troubled now. Not you've been in the past or maybe it's coming, but right now, what are you troubled? Troubled, the Greek word, pressed into a narrow spot. You feel like you can't get out. What's going on? God is saying to you who are troubled, rest. And we're going to look at that today, that rest. How's your rest doing? And I don't mean when you put your head on the pillow. Some of us wake up every day at, you know, 1:30 in the morning, 2:30. Have you had that problem? It just seems like right in the middle of the night when you should be in your best sleep, you pop awake. Why is that happening? I don't know. Maybe just pray. Just pray. And maybe God will reveal something. Maybe you'll go back to sleep, whatever. But this rest is not only an eternal rest. It's a rest right now that each one of us, God is trying to bring that rest into our lives. Because I know as I look around here, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but a lot of us are not at rest right now. We're not peaceful in God, in the situation, and he's offering that rest. So if you're in this narrow place, if you're being troubled financially, health, marital, you know, children, whatever it might be, it covers the whole gamut. Rest with us. And he says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be, this is a great run-on sentence too. That's why it should be read in one whole reading. You know, it just doesn't stop. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? And we'll get to that. This isn't annihilation, as some faiths, you know, you're going to post toasties, you get up to the throne, God loves you so much, poof, you're gone. There's an eternal separation from God, an eternal, knowledgeable separation from our Lord and Savior. And he's saying, and that's why we should witness, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and that's you and me and all the rest of the believers, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Father, thank you for this. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the promises. And I ask today for those of us who are troubled, for those of us who aren't resting right now in you and your promises, Father, that somehow, some way you would work within us in your spirit, just speaking to us, that we would just sense that peace that you're trying to give to us today in whatever situation might be within your house today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul was encouraging them in their faith under the persecution and the tribulations that they were in. We've said this since we started. The lesson for us as we read this in its context is faith and love and hope and suffering, they all go together. You can't just take a piece. Oh, I got faith. I don't love too much. Oh, I got some love, but I don't really have any faith. It's, you know, it's like the Trinity. It's a package deal. They all go together. And if there's one that's missing, the rest of it just doesn't matter. Faith, hope, love, suffering, all of that go together in this walk called faith. An easy word, faith. Have you got faith, brother? Yeah, okay, we would answer sure. But I started looking into this, and like anything else in this world, our faith, it's a gift from God. Trust me, it's not anything we can work up. It's not anything that, you know, depending on how much I do, all of a sudden I get it. It's a gift from our Lord and Savior, this faith. But once we have that faith, it takes discipline. And now that's something, I don't know about some of you, some are very disciplined. The gym, you know, start letting your mind go. You can't miss a day of running. You can't miss a day of jogging. You can't miss a day at the gym, and that's all okay. If that's your discipline, I can't miss a day of this or that, or practicing my instrument, you know, 1 hour a day. Reading the Bible is a good discipline. Everything takes discipline. And this faith, I find in my life and in some of the circles I run in, it seems to be the one thing that's put, not on the shelf, but put back before all these other worldly items that are going to pass. It's kind of just put to the side a little bit. And I started thinking, it takes discipline. What's discipline? You know, it's faith then must be exercised. Right, just like our bodies. If you exercise, and if you have you noticed, it hurt. I don't exercise. I said because it makes me tired. But the older we get, a little bit of exercise really does something, does it? You feel a little better. Your muscles move a little bit. Sit on the couch and watch about 8 hours of TV or whatever it might be, and you feel like a slug, like boneless chicken wing. You know, however that is, those poor chickens. It's got to be exercised. It's got to be nurtured with God's word. It's got to be maintained every single day. It's got to be endured at times as faith. So when we look at that and we think, you know, how does that work? Verse 4, remember, so that we ourselves glory in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Sometimes faith has to be endured. We just got to go through it. God's got something in mind for this, and he doesn't waste any suffering that we endure. He makes it work for us. And, you know, I started thinking, okay, so maintain. Examples, you have a 1954 Chevy. Right? That thing could either be a bucket of bolts and rust, or you've seen some of them that are selling now on the auction blocks for $80,000. Why? Because somebody took the time to maintain it. Somebody took the time to invest in it. Somebody took the time to work a little bit here and there instead of something else. Our faith is exactly like that. What do you mean? I mean that if I have to nurture it, if I have to exercise it, if I have to maintain it, then there's something that I can do once God gives me this gift of faith. I can do something. Gift of God, faith, sovereignty. That's what that is, the sovereignty of God. But in my human responsibility, I can do something in this faith to maintain it, to nurture it, to build it up. So stick something in there, if you would, and turn to 2 Peter. And some of these that we'll hit today, they're just, I'd encourage us, go to the Word and start to see some of the things that God has to show you and myself in maintaining our faith, things that I can do, where I should be today in my faith with my Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 1. And besides this, giving all diligence, an important word, please underline it if you feel free to do that in your Bibles. Giving all diligence, what's diligence? You know, in a sense, diligence is discipline. Again, it's being concentrated upon, it's making sure of diligence. It's not just a haphazard, it's not just a carefree little, you know, glimpse or something. It's I go after it with everything I have at my availability. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue. So here's something I can do. This is my maintenance in my faith. It just doesn't happen. Faith just doesn't grow. Love just, you know, once our faith grows, the love grows and everything goes along with it. But if I leave this faith that God gave me, it's going to start to wane. It'll start to lessen in its intensity. And what the Holy Spirit is saying through Peter here is add to your faith, which you already have, we're assuming, virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, verse 7, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So I stopped at that this week, and it's just simple. If I learn to add, is what that's saying, God will multiply. Makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? I was terrible at multiplication during school. I was not bad at adding. But all God's saying is, you add to your faith, I'll do the multiplication. I'll start increasing things and show you. So I found this. I hope nobody worries about me like joining Facebook one day. Excuse me for those that are on. I use this because sometimes you can resource books that you don't have. And I found this statement about this exact scripture from a man named Gene Taylor. Gene Taylor is a pastor of a Church of Christ, which is okay if you're a believer. But I found what he said about, because we read it here, virtue and this. What does that mean? So he's got virtue is the determination to do right. Knowledge is knowledge of God's word because it is the only source which tells us what is right. Self-control is the application of the knowledge in your life, using it to govern your thoughts and your actions. Perseverance is remaining steadfast to the Lord and his cause. Godliness is being like God as he would have you to be. Brotherly kindness is tender affection towards the brethren of Christ. Love is devotion to God, to Christ, and to your fellow man, which is expressed in obedience to God and service to our fellow man. If you are to be fruitful in your service to Christ, these things must abound in your life. If you lack them, you're blind as to what your life in Christ should be and could be. That one really hit me. That one really hit me this week. It was like, man, yeah, I've read that. So I just, what it is a lesson in addition, hopefully, that each one of us will get into. Turn back to Thessalonians, if you would. Without this adding to my faith on a daily basis, as I said, things will begin to wane, just as everything in this world does. What are some of those signs? What are some of the signs? And some of us probably know better than what we're going to hear right now. What are the signs of faith waning in my life? And I started thinking, some of those signs, you ever have this statement come out of your mouth? Nothing ever works for me. Nothing. Doesn't matter what I do. Nothing ever works for me. Maybe. That's a sign that our faith needs a little addition, needs something added to it. Nothing's ever steady in my life. Nothing. One day I'm just great. Oh, everything's just wonderful. And then the next day, oh, it feels like I'm right back where I was when I started. I don't know how you say those things or if you even do. I do. That's a sign that my faith is waning a little bit and I need to add something to it. One step forward, two steps back. I think that was a Chuck Swindoll book. You know, he had some great books. He had one, Improving Your Serve. I never read it because I thought it was about tennis. And I thought, I'm never going to play tennis, you know. I won't even play pickleball, Tommy. But it's not that. Improving your serve is a way to, you know, to get better to our fellow man and to one another. And one step forward, two steps back, that's exactly what we feel every day, isn't it? I make this progress, and then there I am, right in the same spot I used to be. What? Well, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this body? Jesus Christ will. Another sign might be, are you listening? Are you hearing my prayers, God? I've been praying for an hour and a half here. Well, all together over the week, but are you listening to me? Are you listening to what I'm asking you, God? Does it even matter? Do you even care? And the worst part of that whole thing of lacking the addition and the diligence and the concern about my faith, if I don't understand what God is doing, at one point, be careful how you hear this, and I'm not accusing, but if we allow those things to be a daily part of our faith, those statements, one day it's going to be, you know what, it just doesn't matter anymore. The heck is the difference? What does it mean? God, I've been asking him for a year. See you around. And you're out the door, not only of Calvary Chapel, but of the Church of Christ in Boulder, in Broomfield, Calvary Chapel, this one, St. Rita's, wherever it is, if we don't add, that is going to be the effect of not adding to my faith. What happened? He's out of here. So, I mean, does that make sense?
Yes.
Honest. You know, I'm being raw right now. This is honest. I'm done with it. I'm so over this job. I'm so over this marriage. I'm so over these kids. I'm so over this health problem. I've had it. God doesn't even give a rip. That's what happens, and that's exactly where Satan wants us. That's exactly where the enemy of our soul wants us, not to get us into all these debacles or whatever. He just wants us doubting God, not adding to this faith, because he knows when you start adding to your faith, your love for God is going to grow, your love for me is going to grow, your wife is going to grow, your family is going to grow, all these people, everything just starts growing because he's the one that multiplies. Satan is saying, no, 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 we don't want this. We need to know today, beyond anything else, that God is working right now for us in whatever we're suffering, whatever we might be enduring. God is working for us right now. He's doing something. He's planning something. He is creating, if you would, something for you and I beyond what we're seeing right now. Turn to Revelation 21, if you would. Revelation 21. This is something that we have to go beyond just knowing. You know, a lot of times we say, oh yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I've got that. We've got to get this into us right now, today, so that we can endure this afternoon and keep going tomorrow. This is a new heaven and a new earth is what this is talking about. But the application for us is in this one verse. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's beautiful, isn't it? I don't know about you guys. Do you remember the first day that all of a sudden from the back of the room came this vision in white and it was the person you've loved? I mean, the beauty was just spectacular. what God is preparing. We're living in a garbage can right now. It's nothing compared to what he's doing. And it's, that's the best way you could describe it, like a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And Tommy, this one's for you. And God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. You know, we joke about that, but he's going to do that one day. Our Lord is going to walk up and he's going to say, it's okay, son. It's okay. You can... I made this for you. I got this all for you. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Do we understand that? Today, do we understand it? Because if we do, nothing should get in the way. And there should be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is just a blip on the radar. It's going to be gone. And he that sat on the throne, please hold this one today. We have to know this. We have to know this. And he that sat upon the throne, who is that? Behold, he's saying, take a look, will you? Behold, I make all things new. What are you going through today? What are you going through today? He's not sleeping. He does. It's not like he doesn't care. It's like nothing. God is building, working, creating something in each one of our lives out of this thing that we're fed up with, and we're losing our faith, or at least it's just, yeah, you know, it's, I'll go to church today. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll read the Bible. Maybe I won't. God is up there in spite of all that working. Oh, wait till Ted sees this. He's going to be shocked. Oh, wait till Shannon gets this one. He's working for us today, a better future. So he says, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, for they're true and they're faithful. I'm not saying it. Jesus is saying this. In your life, my life, whatever we're enduring today, his word is true. His word is faithful. Get into this word. It'll change our lives. It will increase our faith. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. Whew. Are you thirsty today for the situation you're in? Are you getting a little dry? Then please, we have to know God is preparing eternity for us. He's not trying to prevent all things temporary right now. He's not doing that. He's getting us ready to get out of here. He's getting us ready to go into a new place that he's creating for us. He's not just trying to make everything perfect here so we lock in even more than we are with the troubles. John 14. I better hurry. No, I won't hurry. I take that back. John 14. Do I know that? So sometimes, you know, in this life that we're in, this generation that we live in, it's, I don't want to wait. I don't want it to cost me. That's an entitlement kind of. And some of us as Christians, we think, well, I'm a Christian. God shouldn't be letting me go through this. I'm a Christian. Why is this happening to me? See, we're surrounded, just like these Thessalonians were, with a culture, with a generation of, you know, this is no cost, no wait. If you don't get your coffee in 2 seconds and a receipt, it's free. If you don't get your pee, that's what we live in. No cost, no wait, no nothing. You know, it's... I want it now. But how dare we make fun of a generation that wants it now, that feels so entitled, when I don't know about you, I don't add to my faith daily so that I can have it built up. I'm asking for no wait, no call. You do it, God. I don't want to do it. You go talk to those people in China. You go talk to those people. I don't want to do it. Let me write a check, and that's easier. God is saying, I want you to add to your faith, and I don't know who. I know he's talking to me. I want you to add to your faith. Pick one. Pick anyone. Pick a number. Pick any number that we just read. Just start slow. Add something to your faith today and see what God can do, because he is building something for you and for you and for me. John, I ask you to turn there. Let not your heart be troubled. Who's troubled? Remember, we had that in verse 7. If you're troubled, you're in this position. Name it. Name it. Call it out. Come against it right now. It's my marriage. It's my family. It's my finances. It's my health. Start to name it by its name. Remember, where's Teddy? You know, Dad didn't do it because he didn't go to church, but some people were brought to church by the ear, weren't they? Get in here, sit down, shut up, and be quiet. Drag that thing to the throne of God. Just lay it down in front of him. Don't let your heart be troubled. Who's troubled today? Well, if you are, believe in God, then Jesus is saying, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for Ray. Amel. I wanted to try to get something Polish out of that, Walt, but I couldn't. He's preparing a place for us. We have this thing going on because they kidnapped St. Patrick, and he believes he was St. Polushka? Petrushka, that's what it is. I'm going to prepare a place for you. For you. For you. That's what he's doing right now. It's not like he's sitting there. Oh, what's the matter? What's the matter with Brent? What was that, Dad? I'm making something for you. And if I go, he says, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there also. When we get there, none of this stuff is going to matter. It's not even going to be remembered. And he's saying, I'm doing that right now for you. Please understand that. Anybody, hey, could you come on over? My car's broke down. Oh, gee, I'm real busy right now. Call Robin. God's not like that. When we're calling on him, it's not like he's saying, I'm real busy building your mansion right now, Taffy. I can't come by. Isn't there someone else? He's saying, I'll be right there. He stops for a second and he shows up and he fixes it and gets right. How he does that, I don't know. Because he's doing it for every single one of us. We need to know this today, or our faith is going to be under attack more so than the Thessalonians that we had. Matthew 11. It takes work, doesn't it? Diligence is the word we heard. It takes diligence. Sometimes when we are trying to do things too good, we're attacked for it. Why are you such a perfectionist? Why are you trying to do that way? Well, because God, in a sense, commands that we do some things. And what he's asking today is in this faith, and if you're weary here, he's making an offer today. 28 of verse 11 says, come unto me, all you that labor. And this labor is not working labor. It's weariness under the burden of sin. And what is sin? Sin is unbelief in a sense. So if in our situations today, we do not believe that God is working for the betterment, if we do not believe that he is building something for me specifically, we're going to weary under the labor, the weariness of our sin, of unbelief. And he's saying, if you're there today, if you don't think he's going to fix your marriage, if you don't think he's going to fix your finances, for a second don't even think he's going to fix your health, those are human doubts, but we are supernatural beings, okay? We're beyond that natural man stuff. We're saved by the blood of Christ. We go instantly from this life to another one. There's a whole nother deal there. And he's saying, if you are, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Remember back there where Paul told us, rest with us today if you're troubled. I'm asking again, how's your rest? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke is one of the most unbelievable things. If you know farm animals, livestock, it's usually a wooden collar that goes around. It's rough. It chews into necks. It causes calluses. God's saying, that's not my yoke. Mine is love-lined. It's easy. It's light. And if that's you today, he's saying, come to me. One more. Give me one more. Hebrews 11. And I pray this week, you go find some of these on our own. So it takes diligence, bring it all back together. It takes work, doesn't it, in a sense, to add those things to my life. No matter what anybody else might be doing, it's up to me. God is saying, what have I told you, Doug? Well, you know, yeah, but Craig isn't doing this. And you know, Jake isn't doing it. God's saying, no, those are my servants. What is that to you? What have I told you? What have I told you to do? And what God is asking me is, how's my faith walk? Okay, am I adding daily? That's, you know, things are adding up. Things should be multiplying. How you doing after 43 years, Doug, in this faith that I gave to you? And Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, what I felt was, it's as simple as walking with God on a daily basis. That's the diligence. I can't let him get out of my thought in any way or another. I have to keep him in the forefront. And what he tells us in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, this is wonderful in here. By faith, Enoch, and I'm going to end with time. If you don't know that story of Enoch, get into the story of Enoch. And you'll find that, you know, he's mentioned in Matthew, he's mentioned in Old Testament. Enoch was translated. Enoch was taken, is what it says. This is one of our rapture, what's the word I'm digging for? Examples. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How do we please God? Hebrews again. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So all of our doings are fruitless if we don't believe in him. So in this faith, if you're not saved today, I'm begging you, get saved. That's the first step. And then we need to add, just by walking with God, just like, what was Enoch? Did you ever think, what was Enoch and God? What were they doing? Enoch didn't see God. You see God? The answer, I see God in you and you and you. Enoch walked with God. He believed in something that he didn't see. There wasn't anything there tangible. There wasn't anything there physical. But Enoch walked with God. And I have to ask myself, and I beg you to, am I walking with God every day in my life? Well, no, of course not. I'm down at the shop. I'm working. That's what you do. It's not who you are. Well, gee, I watched Danny for hours running a big chunk of machinery out there. Well, and I'll bet you were praying, oh God, don't let me tip over here, because one time I saw you like this out there, you know. We should be walking with God every single minute. Don't let anything intrude into that presence of his. Don't let anything intrude that would separate me from that. That's how we start adding to our faith. So am I walking with God? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember, we had that before. So, am I walking with God? Am I adding to my faith, pulling it all together? Am I diligently seeking him? Or is it just a passing fancy when I need something, or I'm in trouble, or this isn't working the way that I've planned? Is that when I come? No, he's saying everything. Giving thanks when the things are good, giving thanks when the things are bad. So, today, are you troubled? Are you not resting the way you feel or I feel I should be at this point in my life? Are you maybe not trusting God with your whole life? Simple way of putting it is, am I adding or subtracting, multiplying or dividing? Because that's what happens. That's what happens. If we don't add, all of a sudden this great division starts to come in. Separation, less. Husband, wife, mother, father, husband, wife, children, families, everything starts to kind of break down. It's going to take discipline to finish this race that you're in. I know I said one more, but I'll find it. Hebrews 4, and you don't have to turn, but just please let your heart be honest with yourself and with God. Like I said, am I troubled? Yeah, I've got my troubles. Am I not resting the way I should in certain things? Yes, I admit that to my God. Am I not trusting fully? I don't know. When I question him, I think that may be a lack of trust. Why not? Because it takes work. It takes an awful lot of work. And what the Word of God says in Hebrews 4:11 is, let us labor, Make every effort is what the Greek is. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's the weariness. It's basically, if I think that this is the end, if I think there's no help or hope for whatever situation I'm in, what it is unbelief. God says something, not Doug. God says it. You can walk through this. You can endure this. You can be diligent and follow me in this, and I'll take care of this situation. If I'm not believing that, I'm in disobedience. Why? First of all, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature, that's me, that's Doug Gibney, you put your name in there. Neither is there any Patricia, there's no Ray, there's, you know, we put your name, Dick Ummel. There's nobody that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with which we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, hold fast our profession. You know what, military guys, you know what hold fast? Guys who are revolutionary buffs, hold fast, men. Okay, you know, let's hope that the rifling in this thing is going to send it over to the right, because there wasn't any rifling. Hold fast, that means don't move. What are you in today? I'm begging you from the Lord, hold fast, don't move. Because you professed that you were his. You professed, I professed, he is my Lord and Savior. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Everything that I'm going through, he knows exactly. He knows every jot, every tittle, he knows every little pore that's in these hairs, he knows those. But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly. It means come with faith, with assurance, not meek, not mild. Come into the throne room boldly, the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Immediate, present trouble. He's saying, I'll give you rest. I'm there. I'm building a place for you today, Doug. Have you forgot that? Do you think I'm letting you go through whatever you're going through, you know, for fun? To punish you? Where's Ted? God's going to punish you. I've said this every time we step out of line, my mother would say, God's going to punish you. And I know she had some faith or what it was. I was afraid of God at one, you know, was going, oh boy, oh, you know, having a cigarette, and oh, God's going to punish me for this one. That's not the God we serve. He's working everything together for good to those that love him. We need to know it today and start to add to our faith. I'm going to ask you something I never did before. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. You don't need anything else in this world. Money, job, fame, fortune, nothing. You don't need anything other than the salvation of Jesus Christ to get you into that eternity. That's what you need. If you are in any of those positions of what we said before, I'm gonna, while we're worshiping, come forward or stop for a minute and go sit next to somebody you know and feel trust in and ask them, please pray for me, for my health, for my wealth, or my lack of it, for my marriage, for my children, for this problem, for my death. Just please, today. Don't walk out of here just, oh yeah, well, it wasn't for me. Too bad Tom didn't listen to that one. Too bad so-and-sos weren't here. They sure needed it, didn't they? We got to get beyond that. We need each other. We need prayer. We need Jesus. These guys sing it all the time. We need him more than anything right now, because it's only going to get harder. It's only going to get more trying. And I pray our faith doesn't wane because of that. So Father God, here we are. We're yours. Help us today to just be blatantly honest with ourselves, Father. You'll help us to give ourselves a good talking to. And during this time of worship, Father, if there's anyone who hasn't entered into that relationship with you, anybody who hasn't been able to enter into that rest because of the world problems and troubles, you tell us you're going to have troubles in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Help us to come, Lord, Help us to come. Come to you and unload everything that we've got, as we just heard. Come to the throne room that we might get that grace and that mercy that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Let's sing something. Hey, that's an idea. I got to shorten my sermons because you notice how stiff these guys are getting when they go to get up.